I did the crime, so now I have to do the time. I've got no argument against it. The abuse that I've copped from people that don't even know me, they abuse me, and then they block themselves. I block me, so I can't reply. Not that I would, but it took a toll on me a little bit overnight.
Michael Walker, the jockey of Prince of Arran. Someone says Arran, it drives me bananas. So sometimes
depends on which school you went to.
Saying it. Prince of Arran, who was finishing second in the end in the Melbourne Cup, has copped a bit of heat. Mickey Walker, Glenn McFarlane joins us from the Herald Sun. Good morning to you, Macca.
G'day, Half. Whitey and Rammer, how you going, guys?
Going very well, thanks. Now, Michael says there he did the crime and he's copped his whack, but the feedback since has distressed him greatly.
Yeah, feedback being an interesting word. That might be an inverted commas feedback. It's just been atrocious, some of the social media. He broke the rules. He's admitted it. He knows he's done wrong in that sense and was punished for it.
Yep.
I think the punishment will increase in coming years. But what he's received back from some of his social media posts, particularly about his daughter's 11th birthday, she's coming across
not cool.
from New Zealand. Not on, not cool. This doesn't happen. We see some great examples of social media, and certainly racing lends itself to that. I don't know if you saw the great Danny O'Brien tweet yesterday from his stable handle about Vow and Declare and the way the horse had, you know, from yearling stage and all the way through. So social media does so many good things, but this is just not on, and particularly with jockeys. Jockeys cop it heavily.
Oh, heavily.
I imagine, and I don't know this with any great confidence, but I imagine they would cop it worse than any sports person because there's financial investment involved. And it's
people.
Basically people on the punt who have done their dough would come as hard as they possibly could for a lot of those people.
Absolutely. And they're in that range. They're the people that want to be on social media. They're young men and women out there. And they cop an absolute... Footballers do, Rammer. We know that. We know that footballers cop it on a weekly basis. But as soon as you put your money out there for something, you think that it actually gives you a God-given right to actually have a crack at a person. Particularly frustrates me when you look at a ride, and a ride might not be that bad, but because you've lost money on it, all of a sudden it's the worst ride.
Oh, he slaughtered it.
It's disgraceful.
Yeah.
And you could see with Michael Walker yesterday, he obviously went up to Kyneton and rode the aptly named Persuader.
Yes.
Which I did have a little investment on
got it
for
home.
Those reasons. But you could see how much it had affected him. He could barely talk after the race. He was he was shattered by what had happened. Now, if he had been a person that didn't want to admit that he did something wrong and the like, well, you'd say, okay. But the treatment that he's got on social media is disgraceful and just has to stop. You were talking earlier, Whitey, about how there needs to be some sort of, particularly with something like Twitter, there needs to be some sort of identification for people. It's ridiculous now what you can get away with.
Yep. Accountability, I think, is paramount, but how you do it, I don't know. But I think jockeys particularly, they just need to turn their notifications off. They need to they need to be much better at filtering what they actually get to see. For their own mental health.
It's easier said than done with athletes because you want to engage with your fans. You want to try to.
Well, I think that I understand what you're saying, but I think at the end of the day, the negative outweighs the positive to that.
Yeah, I agree with that totally.
I think I was talking to someone yesterday. It's the biggest issue in the game, and you would know this, Raymond, more than anyone. In AFL football,
no doubt,
social media is the biggest issue in the game. Don't worry about drugs or gambling or alcohol or all those sorts of things. They're obviously big issues as well, but social media is becoming the biggest issue, and the mental health issues that are happening as a result of it. We've been talking about this on this program for a number of years about how much of an issue it is, and I'm not sure enough's being done.
What's changed? We've been talking probably about it for 3 to 4 years, haven't we, at least? And nothing's really changed in that sense.
So if I played a bad game when I was playing football, there's no social media.
She would have been copping it.
Would have been rare. Would have been rare.
But I would cop it from my old man. Give you a call or...
And that doesn't matter which level you're at, really, does it?
The old man, you were ordinary today, and there'd be a couple of other words in there, and you're sort of okay, then you can get on with it after that. But now, if you are on social media, you cop it from your old man first, and then somebody else jumps in, and somebody else. And it just it's a snowball effect.
Yeah.
And you're right, Whitey, the mental health of any athlete is paramount to this. You're not going to perform at your best. Well, you knock the mental strain. It's impossible to continue to perform at your best.
There's no doubt there are less athletes on social media than was the case.
Well, because they are deleting their accounts.
Yeah, that's right. And if I was an athlete, excuse me, it's emotional when I talk about that because I should have been.
I waited for you guys to laugh first. I just want to note that.
There's no way I'd be on it because you just, why would you be? No one deserves that kind of rubbish. No, they just don't.
It's right. You don't deserve, I think that's right. You used to cop a little bit. You would have copped a little bit over the fence and stuff like that. That sort of thing happened, and that was in the game.
That's right.
But I think the vulnerable part of an athlete often is when they're alone and they're on social media. No doubt. I think that's the scary bit. That it used to be just stuff over the fence. Now these people are in their, basically the athletes are in their own home and they might be having a little bit of downtime looking at social media and they're just copying it. We've seen it. I'm probably not going too far in the sense that, Joe Danaher, some of the issues that Joe Danaher has confronted in recent times, they worry you as well.
And then it's a knock-on effect as also make with the family.
Yes.
Then your parents are reading those comments. Absolutely. Your siblings are reading those comments. Your grandparents are it just continues to snowball.
But it seems to be a drug in that across all sports and racing in the category of sports that the athletes can't help themselves. It's almost like what's the thing with the eclipse? You can't help but look at the eclipse when you're told not to. They just have to look at it, it seems.
Yeah, it is. But in this instance, Michael Walker's put a post out there about his daughter coming over from New Zealand, 11-year-old birthday. Yeah. He was disappointed anyway that couldn't quite win the cup for her.
No one was hurting more than Michael Walker was on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
At not being able to win.
Correct. It was a photo finish between him and Frankie, really, wasn't it? But Michael Walker was shattered, absolutely shattered, because he thought he had the horse and almost did have the horse to win it. But it's just not on. And I think there's not enough being done to change this.
So it's on the back of excessive whip use in the Melbourne Cup. And we've had Charlie Fellows come out and talk about stripping races and stripping positions to change this from the jockey's perspective. We had Giles Thompson on RSN last week foreseeing a future where the whip doesn't exist.
I think he might be right, sadly.
Do you reckon?
Well, I don't mean sadly. I don't mean it in that sense because jockeys, I think that's where we're heading. And when Lloyd Williams comes out and
Lloyd
says the same thing, you'd think that we're heading, as a society, that's the way we're heading. And I don't mean it sadly. When I said sadly, I don't mean that. Only that some jockeys believe that it's important that they carry a whip.
It doesn't mean they can't carry them, I suppose.
No, correct. But there is going to be a massive
emergency purposes.
Yeah.
Don't they use it for balance a lot of the time as well?
They do, but they do. But I think there's no doubt that there's going to be a massive push. There's obviously a meeting with Racing Australia next week, which will look at more uniform rules around the country, and that's what we don't have a lot in racing, do we? Rules around the country. And
Why that doesn't exist is beyond me. That's absolutely a disaster.
Just shake your head about everything in regard to that, don't you? But so with that, certainly we're going to... Last year we had, I think it was 5 jockeys on Melbourne and from the Melbourne Cup who were punished from that. And this year, jockeys received a text message, highlighting the fact that this cannot happen again this year. You can't have excessive whip use in a Melbourne Cup. And again, when the adrenaline gets to the head of a jockey and you're on a 600 kilogram athlete, and there's the Melbourne Cup option to win a race that you desperately want to win from the time you're a little kid, sometimes the adrenaline goes far. And Michael Walker said he went too far. But this year there was one jockey who did it and he was heavily punished. But I think you'll find that next year the punishment will be even stronger.
Okay, we'll see what happens there. That conversation next week with Racing Australia will be important, no doubt.
Sure will.
About the use of the whip. What about the pace in the Cup, Mac? A lot of people talking about the pace, the tempo of the Melbourne Cup again this year. In fact,
I thought the tempo was
all the
beautiful.
Cups, Moonee Valley Cup, the Melbourne Cup, all the Caulfield Cup was a bit slow, they reckon.
Yeah.
But the tempo has been part of the discussion in the racing circles in the last month or so.
Yeah, I thought the tempo was just fantastic.
Well, it was for you because you're back to winner.
But what was interesting,
coming.
Yeah, it did. It was one of the most extraordinary rides you'd ever see from Craig Williams. Absolutely extraordinary to do what he was able to do. And actually, to try to have a chat to Glenn Boss. Glenn Boss knows how to write a Melbourne Cup winner. We know that. Had a great chat to him. He was an observer this year, watched from home because he was suspended, was meant to ride Constantinople.
He was.
But he was also early doors, was a chance to ride Vow and Declare as well because he rode the horse in Queensland. But his line, I really loved his line where he said, Craig Williams, it was the most intelligent cup ride he'd seen in years. And he said when he was actually shaking his head when he kept hearing jockey after jockey after jockey saying, oh, the pace didn't handle, you know, our horses didn't handle it because the pace was too slow. How about doing something about
it? Well, I get annoyed when this conversation happens, I must admit. And this might be a very simplistic, uneducated view of proceedings. But when you see that happening and you hear the jocks at the end of any race, saying, oh, it was a bit slow, we caught out the back and we couldn't do anything about it. Why wouldn't you try something? Because if you can't win at that tempo anyway, why wouldn't you try something so you might be able to, Craig Williams style?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I get a bit confused about that, I must admit. And I'd love to talk to jockeys about that at some stage, maybe even today, try and do that.
Well, we've had those discussions before where they're in the race and they're all looking around waiting for someone to do it and they don't want to do it first.
Yep.
And so they go, okay, can't do it. Do it, and then I'll follow, and all this sort of stuff. Like, that's going through their head.
So, Craig Williams.
And no one does it. So, they just sit there, and they're all just biding their time.
So, you can't win anyway from that position.
Well, I know, but that's...
So, credit where credit's due. Craig Williams was just good enough to ride a tactical race. So, tactics in any sport now are more than ever.
But it's easier when the blokes you're riding against don't want to do anything about it. You win the race. Initiative. And that was the line. Glenn Boss said he was watching the television. Had a great chat to him yesterday, purely because he sums up a race in a fantastic way, Glenn Boss, but he's not worried to actually criticise. And so he basically said that he was watching there saying to his wife, why isn't anyone doing anything? Why aren't they doing anything? His line along the lines were, you know, geez, when are they going to make a move? And they didn't.
But this isn't the first time this has ever happened. It happens most years.
A lot.
But it goes back to this, I reckon it's this whole full circle thing that, If a jockey goes out there and is bold and tries to make a move, excuse me, and it doesn't work, then he gets hammered. He can't ride. What's he doing here?
Social media.
And social media gets involved.
Why was the pace so quick?
The media criticised. What was he doing? Sometimes you think back, why would you? Why would you open yourself up for being criticised? Because often if you are daring, more often than not, it's not going to work. You'll get one where it works, but often... you'll be made to look silly.
I keep thinking back to the Oaks, Lasquetti spirit. I can't remember how you pronounce it.
But you don't have to be daring. You just have to give yourself a better chance.
But you know what I mean? That sometimes to take a risk opens yourself up for criticism. Yeah. So I can understand why people go, well, why bother? Because it's all part of this mix of negativity that's in sport. And I think a lot of it is... it's either social media driven or it's media driven. It's easier to hammer someone than actually praise someone.
Yeah, I think that's right. And that's concerning when we've got to that stage.
Isn't it? You journo types he's talking to, Macca?
Yeah, it is.
You journo types.
I think the journo types, at least we're actually fair, I reckon, and fairly constructive in most ways.
I'm not so
mostly,
sure about that.
Mostly.
I'm saying that to his face.
Mostly fair.
No, I'm talking in general. I'm not so sure that's the case. I think it is too negative slanted because it's more salacious, it's more controversial, it's more likely to get attention than to be positive. And, you know, I think it happens a bit in most sports at the moment. Most sports are safe. Most sports are conservative. Most sports are negative-minded.
But why would they worry about us, though? Why wouldn't they just get out and do their job?
Because I think it's human instinct, natural instinct.
Brenton Avdullah, do you remember the ride?
Yeah, I do.
The sweaty spirit just took on the race. I think it was 2016. Yeah.
Extraordinary. 10 lengths.
And I think everyone was, given the fact that it was 100-1 around those sort of bracket, he just took the race on.
If that's $1.80, maybe it's a different ride.
Yes, correct. That's it. And I take your point. I take your point about... we are looking to criticise more than anything else. But I think social media has added that extra layer to that.
No doubt.
When you say mostly, you're talking about 50% of the time, aren't you?
No.
I wasn't sure.
I'm a very positive man. You know that, Rammer. I'm a very positive man.
It is a good piece with Glenn Boss today. It's in the back page or the inside cover of the Herald Sun on page 71. So make sure you read that with Macca today. 18 past 7. He's going to stick around after the break. There's plenty more news coming out of the Flemington Carnival so far. And there's also some footy news floating around too that we'll get our teeth into after the break on The Breakfast Club.
Light, Ramanaskis. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
But they must be starting to get worried, these back markers. They're all starting to get going now. Yankee Rose being hard ridden, about 15 away from the leader. Lasquity Spirit turns into the straight about 3 lengths to My Girl Chili. Oliver said, let's go on Eleonora. She's starting to do the chase, followed by Miss Rock, and then a half a dozen lengths to Harlow Gold. Yankee Rose too far back. 300 metres to go, and Lasquity Spirit still about 4 to 5 lengths in front of Eleonora. Miss Rock battling away. Harlow Gold coming down the outside. Lasquity Spirit is still well clear with 100 metres to go. Got to be getting tired. Abdullah pulled the whip. She's 4 or 5 in front, though, and Lasquity Spirit has pinched the Oaks by 4 lengths. Harlow Gold second, Eleonora third. Peking Duck got home next.
Peking Duck, everyone loves that. Delicious pancakes. But nah. Peking Duck pancakes.
Never heard
mate.
Of that.
Oh, gee whiz.
Nah. Oh, we need to take these two for lunch.
I'd rather the caramel milkshake.
100%.
In fact, we're
out of eastern suburbs, boys. We'll stick together.
They're not coming to lunch. You and
pancakes.
I will go to lunch.
We're going to flower drink.
Maple syrup and ice cream.
You and I will go to lunch.
Add a stretch chocolate sauce.
These two can have the kiddies' table at Macca's. That's what they can do.
Did you have that at your 50th birthday last Friday?
We may have had some Peking Duck activity. Yeah. Yeah, that was my 50th. That was the 50th I attended.
You're older than 50 anyway.
I was about to say, you added a couple.
That was, by the way, the 2016 VRC Oaks taken out by Lasquity Spirit that Macca was talking about before. A beautiful ride.
Britton Avdulla, what a ripper. Avdulla.
And we've got the Oaks today, of course, which we'll touch base on shortly. But crowds, they're a topic.
Concerning, isn't it? It is a little concerning.
Weather.
The VRC had a good chat to Neil Wilson yesterday, and Martin Pakula was all over it yesterday as well. I think they feel that the weather from Saturday, combined with last year's wet cup day, put some people off from going. Like, you don't make a decision on the morning of the Melbourne Cup, I'm going to go to the Melbourne Cup. You generally make it well and truly before then. So they're blaming, obviously, the equine welfare issues have been.
No doubt.
A massive concern for
the public perception of racing is
correct.
As bad as it's ever been, I reckon.
Yeah, you're probably right. Given
the general public.
Given the social change of us as people. And that's something that racing needs to put a lot of work in, and they are trying to, but there's a lot of work to be, you know, still be put in regard to that. Yep. Obviously, money is being spent on equine welfare and the like, but it's going to take time. That's going to take time. And I think that's the thing they think that it actually did impact on the, you know, once or twice a year punter going along to the Melbourne Cup. The weather was obviously a factor. Taylor Swift?
Swizzle?
I think they believe that was a little perception.
It's an awareness of an issue. And people are, and back to Whitey's point before about jockeys and the willingness to take the race on, people are scared to be associated with things that some people see as unpopular.
Yep.
That is exactly right.
Mm. So
even if it is the loud minority.
Yeah, correct. That's right.
Yeah, correct.
Because they don't want to be caught up in it. They don't need the drama in their life, so they just don't engage. And I have no doubt that's a huge part of what's going on at the moment.
As you know, I'd love to be a CEO.
Of everything, yes. There might be a job at Essendon coming up.
There might be. There might be. But I would actually love them to find out which sort of people have stopped going. Because I've got a gut feeling that even like the nursery car park and things like that, there are less people going to that. Because that was one of the key reasons why the crowds built up so much. It wasn't so much the racing fan, it was that event fan that was going and heading out to the nursery car park and doing. We'd never see a race, but that was helping get the crowds
correct.
Up. Yeah. I reckon they've stopped going because of the whole thing around social media and the negativity around racing.
So the lowest crowd in 24 years since 1995 at 81,000. Unbelievable to think that 16 years ago we had 122,000 go to a Melbourne Cup. That's incredible, isn't it? So, but it has been progressively going down in recent years.
It felt a big crowd on Tuesday. Mm. It felt like some of the, you know, I was there that there was 120 odd thousand.
It's funny, Martin Pakula said exactly the same thing. He was surprised.
So I reckon it's the ones out the back.
So internally, the ones not going. And I think that's going to take time. I think the VRC understands that. They're willing to make some changes if they can, and they'll look to try and make some changes. They've already done that with the Oaks Day today being a Twilight Oaks. They want to try and engage with people more from what people are after, and they're hoping the weather might not be so great for them today in that sense.
But it's conspiring against them today and Saturday with poor weather.
But I don't think there's not a panic situation at the moment from the VRC. I think they're looking at changing a few things for next year, but I think they think from the long term that they need to just arrest this slide. If they can arrest the slide, then with a few years' time, hopefully things can start going on the upward trend again.
I wasn't as concerned about it going into the carnival as I am now, based on the television figures as well.
That's a concern.
That was the big concern. Was
wagering as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was only minor. Going against the trend.
Television figures were...
Yeah, but the Flemington figure went against the trend of Caulfield and so forth. It wasn't as bad. But the TV figure was...
horrendous.
It has plummeted.
Do you put that back to, again, racing being on the nose, or is it a switch of a station? Is there an element of that? Is there a small...
I think it's the perfect storm, to be honest. Yep. I think there's a number of things conspiring against that, for the figure to be as low as it was. But for it to drop around 500,000. That's a big drop.
And Martin Pakula was talking about maybe just the cross-state rivalries have impacted the Sydney punter coming down, that they've decided that, you know, the Sydney punter might stay up north and not come down now.
Yeah, so I think that's a fact.
That's a concern.
But even breaking down the television figures, the number was down in Sydney, but not as much as the number was down in Melbourne. So...
Righto, we'll see what happens for the next couple of days. A late start today for Kennedy Oaks Day. And Mark Cavanagh's got a Group 1 chance today. How long has it been since Mark Cavanagh's had a Group 1 chance?
That's a very good question. I could have told you with Danny O'Brien, but because he had his first one on Melbourne Cup Day, which is fantastic. It's been quite some time. But isn't it great that the two guys who are back, in that sense, who went through the Cobalt situation together, have got the favourite and all but second favourite in the Kennedy Oaks today. So with Danny O'Brien with Miami Bound, who I think will win, hopefully, and Vegas Jewel for Mark Cavanagh being the horse that hopefully can bring him back at the moment. So
can rebuild.
Yeah, and Danny's done it in exceptional fashion. He's got an unbelievable stable of horses at the moment, including a horse called Russian Camelot.
Oh, yes. Is that running Saturday?
No, it's running today.
Today.
Yeah, this Russian is the one we've been waiting for.
This is the one.
Yeah, so...
what race is that in?
You have to go down to about...
Glenn's reluctant to...
Race 7, number 10.
It hasn't been missed. If you saw its win...
on debut.
I made a very bad decision. I interviewed... did a feature on Danny O'Brien before the Caulfield Cup, based around Vow and Declare. Met up with him on this particular morning and didn't ask him what he had in. And then a couple of hours later, saw Russian Camelot absolutely destroy a field. And it's a seriously good horse. So it's got a very good stable at the moment.
Glenn won that much money half on Tuesday. He was part of the presentation. He was in the manning and he was part of the presentation.
Felt like it.
You were very close to the stage.
Yeah, God bless Vow and Declare. But it gives us all hope. An Australian horse that was passed in for $45,000. Yeah, unbelievable when you think about that.
Steve says, regards to the crowd, you blokes are kidding yourself. It's the prices of entry and food and drink. You blokes don't pay, so you don't understand people are struggling, says Steve.
That's a good point. A lot of people have parties at home now.
Yeah.
Yep.
$90 is the minimum ticket, I think, isn't it, for getting in. It's not cheap.
Yep.
A lot of people having parties at home.
There are a lot of texts that have come through. We've found a way of almost setting up a forum post-carnival to talk to the listeners about what they think. The situation is. I think it could be good feedback for everyone in the industry. Our listeners are quite representative of, helping.
Our listeners would be the most representative of helping.
That's what I'm saying.
You do that at the town hall?
We could do that.
That's where they do those forums at the town hall.
It's got Gareth Hall written all over
it. We could do a live broadcast at the concert hall or something like that, and just have like a Q&A type setup.
When people want to complain, they go to the town hall.
It's got Felgate and Hall written all over it.
It has.
Yeah,
I like it.
This is an absolute no-brainer.
It's good.
Absolute no-brainer. Switching sports just for a second. Bit of footy news going around. Eddie's back at the Blues. They happy about that, are they?
Beautiful. Don't you love it? Eddie back at the Blues. Jumper on. But Sauce gone.
Now, these reports were surfacing last night. This was...
It's been going for a few weeks now.
A couple of months ago, didn't it? Was it?
Yeah. The belief is he's gone at the end of the draft. And that's been... for a number of months now.
Yeah.
And, obviously we know there was a little bit of toing and froing about whether Eddie was the right fit and the like. But, I mean, Sauce has done a pretty good job when you look at the building of that as well. There's been a few little fractious relationships internally at Carlton. They'll deny that, of course, but that's no doubt that's been going on.
Yeah, right.
But Sauce has, he's been the man behind the build of that. And it's a little bit sad now to see him... potentially leave in that sense. Don't you think, Rama?
I think if Stephen Silvani leaves Carlton,
which he will,
he will have no trouble finding a job somewhere else.
Where would he go, Rama?
Oh, there's a couple. There,
well, who needs a list manager?
North Melbourne at the moment.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. Mm. GWS need a head of football.
It's already been there.
Back to the future.
Go back.
Out of 10, how would you rate Stephen Silvani's performance at Carlton?
8, 9 out of 10.
It's pretty high, yeah.
What would you rate it?
You think when he came in, Whitey, where that list was to where it is now.
Where is it now?
I think they're going to start. Will they compete? I think the second half of this year, they're going to be a very strong football team.
I would have said about a 7, but I can see your point of view. Next year will determine everything.
The pillars of that team now are all there.
Yep, I'd agree with that. What have you got him as?
About a 6, 5 or 6, but I think we'll actually...
You'll know more soon.
Know more at the end of this year. Yep. I think you have a much better... Because there is a lot of hype about Carlton.
Second half of this year will be significant for Carlton.
Yeah, there is a lot of hype about Carlton, but I think we'll get a much better understanding of what this list will be.
I don't expect them to make the finals in 2020, but they should be pushing that sort of from 12th up.
Mm. And it looks like, one report last night I saw... Was they're chasing Kinnear Beetson perhaps to, if
yes,
that's the case.
Yeah.
Sauce has gone. Kinnear Beetson has been
mooted
for the role. Yes.
Mooted for the role.
Mooted.
Exactly.
I do love a mooting.
This is the year. This is the time of the year for mootings as well, isn't it?
Have you heard of anyone that is in line for the job at the Giants? Because they've got two really important positions to fill. It's not just the footy manager, it's the senior assistant
there
coach.
There is. And that's a concern for the Giants, isn't it? So I haven't as yet because I've been pretty much had my racing hat on. But
The Giants have made a lot of inquiries about that senior assistant coach. The problem is there's not a lot out there.
I knocked them back.
From half?
Wasn't prepared to move.
No. Can't do it on a sort of...
Wouldn't leave my girls.
Interstate relationship basis or just via phone?
Flying fight, no.
I'll find out for you, Whitey. I'll do a bit of work on that today.
One club, mate. I can't do two clubs.
That would be interesting if you could do that.
No, you couldn't do that.
AFLW, AFL.
You couldn't do that. Too hard basket.
That's the brave new world, I think.
Yeah.
Too hard basket. Who's the winner today, Macca, before we let you go?
Oh, did I say Russian Camelot? I think Miami.
No,
Bound
not that one. In the Oaks.
In the Oaks. I thought you were talking about the best. I've tipped Miami Bound. Been with Miami Bound all the way through. It was really terrific last Saturday. And
Macca's best is in the last.
Yeah, I know. This California Zimbal. I don't know if you saw it win last start.
$1.70.
I know. I think it's a shorties day today, which is a little concerned.
When anyone says it's a shorties day today,
100-1.
It won't be a shorties day.
No, I know. Particularly because I've already had my all ups and they're all done. So anchored it into California Zimbal.
I'm having a one out quaddy and I'll have it 100 times today and I'll win it, no doubt.
100 times?
No, I won't do that either. None of that.
Very good. I like it. No, Miami Bound in the Oaks for me.
I'll have it 5 times. $5 on my one out quaddy. I expect to get it, Macca.
I'm sure you will too.
After missing out on Saturday, on Tuesday.
Oh,
this is disappointing.
Tough.
Disappointing. Great to see you as always.
Thanks, guys. Good
have
on you.
Have a great day today. We look forward to spending more time with Glenn McFarlane through the summer on The Breakfast Club. We'll get to a break 25-8. Lockie Stevens is the main man now at Cricket Victoria, coach of the Victorian men's cricket team. Keen to find out how he's feeling about that and what he can do to turn things around too. They're a little bit all over the shop, the Vicks. We'll chat to him after this.